Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach Riddle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Today, we're talking about emotional intelligence. This is a topic that fascinates me. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it and trying to work with couples around developing their own emotional intelligence. And Laura has some great ideas, and I hope you'll stick with us. Hey, what's happening?
I'm all wound up. All of that technology, just getting to this point, now has me so frustrated. I have a problem.
We're in uncharted territory today. We usually are able to look at each other through our phones, but today, because Laura can't figure out technology, we are not able to do that.
I'm so frustrated. I'm just going to own it. I'm going to own it that I have issues with technology. I literally couldn't get headphones to work, could not get my internet to work so that I could see you. And then everything was dying, which is a story that many who know and love me know that that's I don't plug anything in. And so everything's at 2%, 100% of the time. Anyway, I'm over it. How are you?
I'm good. It's April. I mean, it's not quite April, but today is not April, but by the time anybody listens to this, it'll be April. And I like April a lot. April is like, all right, here we go. We're doing this. So
it's spring.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm also excited. I'm looking forward to we're going to be hosting at our house, our family reunion. It's my mother's side family reunion. And I love my mom's family. I think that they're all crazy and fun and beer drinking, person type of people, and I'm down with that. So I'm just really excited to get down.
Cool.
Yeah. What are you doing? Do you have anything special going on this month?
No. We kind of kick into special starting in about May. We have a couple of trips that we take, but April is basically soccer tournaments, and my other daughter Abby has her play that's opening up. So we'll stay busy with kind of around here stuff, but. We don't really do anything fancy. Yeah.
Do you think it's too soon to have Holden, my 3-year-old, start soccer lessons? And it doesn't matter if you say yes, because we already signed him up. So why would it be too soon?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I actually believe what I just said. I mean, I just think it's, you got to follow the kid, right? I mean, if the kid wants to play, the kid plays. Mm-hmm. If the kid doesn't want to play, I think our only job right now is to drive the car. And that just means we kind of have to follow their lead. I think if you forced him to play soccer and he didn't want to, or you were trying to create a little like Lionel Messi at 3, then maybe that's something. But I think if he's into it, great.
I definitely don't force him to play or want to play soccer or want to ride his bike. But I'm now feeling a little bit guilty about forcing him to vacuum and fold laundry and do kitty litter and just basically be my child slave. So
yeah,
I feel a tiny bit guilty about that.
I tell you what, though, the alternative is not any better, where they don't do anything, and you have to like bribe or negotiate with them to get them to fold their clothes or to pull some weeds in the front yard or whatever. So,
all right. So, what are we talking about today? What are we going to impart knowledge about, or no knowledge at all, just talk about it?
Do you know that I've never once heard Kim Kardashian's voice?
How have you made it through life without hearing Kim Kardashian? Do you know we were just talking about Brene Brown? You're not confusing the two. I know that Brene Brown and Kim Kardashian are not the same person. Do you think they are?
No, I know they're not. But I've also never heard Brene Brown's voice either.
Okay. Well, they're not the same voice. Why
did I bring that up?
Yeah.
Because today we're talking about emotional intelligence.
And what does Kim Kardashian have to do with it?
Nothing.
Not a thing. They're not even in the same world. But
no,
Brene,
I want to go out of
Brene
my way.
Brown does. She does.
Yeah,
have
sure.
A lot to
I'm sure
topic.
She. I'm sure she does. I've read some of her like memes. I see her memes on Facebook and stuff.
Oh, Zach.
Hey, I'm going to dedicate today's podcast to the Hoodie Twins.
They are
clients of mine, and they know that it's happening because it's actually one of the Hoodie Twins that has been inspiring me to think about emotional intelligence. So I just want to give a shout out to those guys and say you're welcome. Here goes.
You're welcome.
Let me ask you a question. Have we mentioned before about the death of your welcome?
I think you and I have talked about it.
But nobody says you're welcome anymore. They say, certainly, or no problem.
Yeah.
Don't mention it. Yeah, I read this weird article about it, but let's bring it back. You're welcome. Well, and The Rock.
And The Rock. That's right. From Moana. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So tell me about emotional intelligence.
Oh, I was going to ask you to tell me about emotional intelligence because I know you just finished the book.
Yeah, I'll be honest. For those of you who are really interested in Daniel Goldman's concept of emotional intelligence, the first book that came out, I think it was good. It was sort of like breaking the ground when it came to emotional intelligence, and then a lot has been done since then. And then I thought, ooh, you know what? I'm going to read Emotional Intelligence 2.0, and I'm going to be even smarter. And when I say read, I take content in a lot of different ways. So I actually listened to it. And I was sorely disappointed, maybe because I was already up on it and it was just a review. But I think of 2.0s as being taking it to the next level, and it just wasn't. And that was a little bit of a bummer. But emotional intelligence, I have done probably more work in the business world, in the corporate world, of helping employees to become more emotionally intelligent. And that's been more of where my brain goes rather than with couples, even though I'm a couples therapist. But I think that emotional intelligence is one of those skills that we should be teaching our children right along with, you know, how to tell time and how to count money. And emotional intelligence needs to be just one of those next things. And I really do think that the world is catching up to this idea of the importance of it as a skill. And it's not a soft skill. It's a hard skill that we need to have in order to survive in this world and have a leg up on the competition and how to have successful relationships. And so that's where I'm at when it comes to emotional intelligence. How about you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's a few things. One, as you were talking right now, I was thinking about how we do right now. We live in a world that isn't really championing the cause of emotional intelligence. I mean, we live in a world that is increasingly black and white, and where there's not a lot of really great models of thoughtful engagement with disagreement or with discomfort. And so that just occurred to me as you were talking. But I think the reason that it's become top of mind for me is I'm increasingly aware in my practice that in order for couples to achieve any kind of health or any kind of repair in their relationship, it really does require two people who are committed to bringing their best to the table. And I like emotional intelligence as a model. I mean, in part because it suggests that it doesn't really matter how smart you are, or how much you know, or how good you are with words. It really matters. Right. There's sort of these four skills that are involved, and they're not hard to remember. One is awareness of yourself, of your emotions that are inside your own body. Second one is awareness of emotions that are inside your partner's body or the other's body, what's going on for them. Mm-hmm. The third thing is being able to sort of manage your own emotions, so self-management. And then the last thing is relationship management, being able to manage relationships appropriately with, in this context, your partner, your spouse. And
yeah.
I think that there's a really important, for people who really are interested in achieving a mature relationship, they have to be committed to growing skills in all four of those areas. And so that's where I think it's
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's really important as individuals to sort of figure out where your strengths and weaknesses are. And it's, I think it's also really important as therapists to be able to understand how to help people develop that stuff up and to be able to model it effectively in the room, but also in the world. So,
You know, as you were talking, I'm reminded of a couple, and they are incredibly interested in being emotionally intelligent. They came to me with all of the language skills, the words, the vocabulary that they're using to talk about their triggers and being very self-aware. It was really interesting to me because it was almost as if I was speaking to a professor because of the amount of language skills that they had to describe. And both of them are incredibly self-aware, and they're both pretty aware of each other's emotions, but what they're doing is they're really struggling with the management process, the management of, okay, now that I know what's happening in my body and I know by looking at my partner what's happening to them, now what do we do? And that's the piece that they're just really struggling in, is like, how do I manage these emotions? How do I move forward when both of us know clearly that we're activated or that we're emotionally flooded? How do we take that next step in order to be able to manage ourselves and manage our process? And that's something that I find is a struggle because they are so hyper aware and want it so bad, which is not a bad thing. I'm very, very lucky to have clients that want to succeed in that way.
Well, I think for me, like if I'm talking, it's funny because the Hoodie Twins, their thing is not necessarily management. It's really awareness, like just a lack of clarity about what exactly am I feeling right now? And so, you know, you do have to find the combination of the both. I've been talking a lot lately with couples about testing. And what I mean by that is like, you have an experience of another and it creates an emotion for you, or it creates a belief about the other, and you have to test that belief and you have to test that emotion. An example is I had a woman say to her husband, "I don't understand how that works. That doesn't make any sense to me." And I said, "Hold on one second." I said, "Are you aware? Do you know whether or not you said, 'Well, I don't understand how that works. Like that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense to me.'" Or if you think you said, "Well, hold on. I don't know if I understand how that works. Like, could you help me understand that? Because it doesn't make any sense to me." And then I asked him as well, like, which one did you hear or what else did you hear? And there was and they were not aligned. They didn't, she thought she said one thing and he definitely heard something else, which means they were not, they weren't managing in a way that themselves and the other in a way that was going to be productive. So I think you really have to kind of test the phrase, even if you have to say, "Hang on a second. I'm not sure if you just said, 'Oh, I don't understand. What the hell are you talking about?' Or if you said, 'I don't understand. Can you help me understand?'" Because that was going to direct the next thing. So in terms of your couple that really wants it, I'm talking about test. I think I'd go to testing a little bit.
I recently had a couple that had basically had the same experience where I call it filters. The filters in which they were hearing their partner were so skewed and tinted or tainted, however you want to say it, that whatever their partner was saying, they weren't hearing them. In the way in which their partner thought they were saying. And they literally asked, they said, "Do you think we should film our fights and play them back? And what do you think I said? What would you have said if this couple just came to you? They're in like session number one." And they said, "You know, we've been thinking maybe we should just film our fights so that we can become more aware of what's going on. What would you do?"
I think it's fine. I think it's a great idea. And I think it will blow your mind what you see.
I am so glad that you said that, because I said the opposite. I literally was like, "Oh, hell no, do not do that." And you know what? I'm probably not giving you enough information. But the reason why I said don't do that is because they wanted to point fingers at the other person. And they really wanted to like manage the other person's awareness and say, "You're not aware of this." And that's where I wanted to stop it. But I did tell them that's a tool that sometimes couples therapists will use. We will sometimes film their clients in our office and then play it back to them just so that they can start to strengthen their own self-awareness of what's actually coming out of their mouth, or what is their body language telling them? Or you see that point right there where your temple starts to pulse.
Yeah.
that's when I know you're really upset.
Well, and the reason I say go ahead and film it, but I would also caveat and be like, but you don't get to care about the other person. All you get to do is pay attention to your own stuff. Because
sure.
I love that within the context of emotional intelligence, the two primary skills as they're paired, it begins with self, right? Like self-management,
right.
It becomes before, self-awareness comes before other awareness, and self-management becomes before relationship management. And And I think people go, well, I don't really know. I never learned how to do this stuff. And so, you know, I make them watch that movie, that Pixar movie, Inside Out, where that little girl has all those little creatures that live in their head and they're all colored differently. So like green is happy and blue is sad and red is angry. I think there's disgust and fear maybe. But I think that that's an interesting way to think about your emotions, particularly if you take like anger, which is an emotion we see a lot in our office, and say, okay, anger is red, but red is also pink and rouge and blood and crimson and scarlet and lots of different variations. And so sometimes your anger, it feels initially like rage perhaps, but you have to test it, right? And just see if, am I really just sad, or am I upset, or am I troubled? Like there's nuances to it. And I think if you can find the nuances to your emotion using language, using colors, using literal vocabulary, a thesaurus either. Oh wait, here's a joke for you. Ready? I got a new thesaurus the other day and it's worthless. I mean, not only is it terrible, it's also terrible.
It's also terrible?
Zach. Yeah, not only is it terrible, it's also terrible because it's a useless thesaurus. See, you like you're laughing.
I'm laughing because that was such a bad joke. Oh, really blew it. Okay, so the thing that I like about what you just described is putting language to describe your emotions, and that can be such a really tough thing because, you know, prior to getting on the podcast, we were talking about emotional intelligence and you said, this is why I think women, and maybe I quoted you wrong or misheard you, this is why I think women are better at emotional intelligence. And I said, I don't think that's true at all. I think that, I wish I had the research that actually described, because we do have research of people who have taken emotional intelligence tests. We have sort of a gender divide, but and we can see where they score. But I think where we fall down is that women in general have more time on this planet using our language skills to describe our emotions. I just think that we are culturally raised in a way where we talk about our emotions a whole lot more than men do. And of course, this is a generalization, but if we're going to talk about self-awareness, one of those things is being able to recognize what's happening for ourselves and then be able to describe what's happening using language. And I love the idea of saying, you know what, if you aren't sure if what you're feeling is fear or resentment, then let's use some other way to talk about it. Let's talk about the spectrum of colors. We all know a whole lot of colors. Maybe we don't, but you seem to know a lot of shades of red.
Just buy a box of crayons, right? Just go buy a box of 64 crayons and start to mess around with that. I mean, sort of that's a joke, but it's not, right? I mean, even a thesaurus, for real, you could like go, hey, I wonder if there's a better word for what's happening for me. And I think I do think women have been socialized relationally more than men. I mean, that's just part of the sort of the natural, we talked a little bit ago about sort of traditional roles. I think that's changing quite a bit, but men also have been socialized to go, well, I don't know how to express my emotions and I'm not that good at it. And, you know, real men don't eat quiche or real men don't cry or whatever. You know, I mean, I think there is a cultural leaning, but I think you're right. I mean, it almost doesn't matter because these aren't skills that you have innately or you don't. They're skills that you can learn
right.
And skills you can develop if you care. Yeah.
if you care. And that's the thing that I really love about it when working sort of in the corporate environment, is that your IQ is pretty set. You can read a few good books and take some good classes and go to the best schooling and education. But when it comes down to your IQ, it's really pretty much unchanging. However, your EQ, your emotional intelligence, can grow exponentially if you devote the time to developing that self-awareness and the self-management and social awareness and relationship management, and really make that a priority. Something that I did want to mention is maybe the importance of why this is so important. And there's a statistic that Dr. Gottman had talked about, that he really believes that emotionally intelligent husbands are the key to lasting marriages. And I think that that's a really powerful tidbit, talking about how powerful men can be in the health of and the longevity of a relationship when it comes to emotional intelligence, and why this should be something that men should be paying attention to. And we kind of talked a little bit about why that might be the case.
So if you're a man and you want to improve your relationship and you're not quite sure how to do it, maybe what you're saying is investing in emotional intelligence skills is a pathway toward a healthy, lasting, you know, sort of happy relationship. Help.
Yeah. Marriage. Yeah, absolutely. And I've always thought that, and maybe we'll develop this at some point, but if you have someone like Dr. John Gottman, the guru of couples therapy, saying that realistically that the key is really a male's emotional intelligence, then there should be workshops, classes, programs out there specifically geared toward developing emotional intelligence for men. And maybe we'll develop it someday. I don't know. Maybe we will.
Maybe we will. Or maybe the Hoodie Twins will want to be our first guinea pigs.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, why don't we wrap this up? Because we always like to be brief and provide some kind of information. So
yeah, no, let's wrap it up. This has been a good discussion, and I hope it's been helpful to you to be thinking about where do you have strengths and weaknesses in some of these categories, whether it's self-awareness or other awareness or self-management or other management, and where do you need to grow? Because I really do think that marriages need two people who are interested in developing these skills and strengths. So
yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Well, Zach, until next time.
Until next time. Take care.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to episode 23 about emotional intelligence. Hey, I wanted to give you a tip. One thing that I have done when I have been interested in something in particular, maybe developing it for myself or learning more about it, I have gone on to social media, specifically to LinkedIn, and I have started to follow some of the godfathers in that specific area. So if you are wanting to learn more about emotional intelligence or have that on the forefront and constantly be reminded by having articles come through on your social media, a couple of people you want to follow is going to be Daniel Goldman. He wrote the original book on emotional intelligence, and then Travis Bradley followed up with the 2.0 version. I know for sure that Travis Bradley and Talent Smart is putting out tons of content, and I'm seeing it come across. And it's one way that I am just constantly refreshing and building my awareness of social cues and awareness and my emotional intelligence. So that's your tip for the day. As always, I wanted to thank you for your time and your attention, all about making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.